Turning your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. This may be considered more of a Sunday night message, perhaps, than a Sunday morning message, but it's the one that we have. It's the one I'm quite certain now that the Lord would have us. And the reason I say I'm certain of that is we don't have anything else. No. It's got to be this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll talk about this passage of Scripture. Father, I thank you so much today for the opportunity to literally bow before your throne and speak to you on behalf of our church that's gathered here today. Father, I pray for the nursery workers and the children that are in the nursery. Please keep them safe. Father, you've been speaking of safety. You've been awfully good to us and have really, really blessed us with your protection and your safety. Father, I pray for those that are in the junior church today and in the toddler's church. I pray, Lord, that they will get things from the words of God, things from their teachers, that will establish a strong foundation upon which they can build their lives. Today, Father, we have something in the Bible that's very instructive for us, something that's very helpful, something that's liberating in many regards. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll give us a great understanding in the things that we're studying today. Help us to be able to learn them and apply them and actually see how they apply to our lives. And Father, if we are such as what we see in the text, then I pray, Lord, we won't be reluctant to make that known to you, that we acknowledge that you're speaking to us and that we are who you're speaking about. So that you can help us with the reproof and corrections that are necessary on the verses that we're reading today. We ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now notice here again he says in Galatians 1:10, he says, do I now persuade men or God? That's very interesting because in our lives as people, and in our lives as Christians, we have to ask ourselves that question. Who am I trying to persuade with what I'm saying? Who am I trying to persuade with what I'm doing? Am I trying to persuade a man? If I'm a child, am I trying to persuade my parents? You know, if I'm an employee, am I trying to persuade my employer? Or am I trying to persuade God? And then he puts it even more in terms that we understand. He says, do I seek to please men? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That question that he asks there, do I seek to please men, is what we want to talk about today. Do I seek to please men? Am I a men pleaser? Am I more concerned with my actions now? Nobody would stand up and say, you know what, I really am more concerned about pleasing men than I am about pleasing God. You wouldn't probably admit that openly. You might look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, that is who I am. So deal with these matters in the recess of your heart. Deal with these matters in your life as if you and God are alone now. And be honest with them about these matters because there are many of us who are very concerned about gaining the approval of men. We do things and say things and act certain ways so that men can say, you know, that's a great guy. That's a good person. That's a fellow right there he's A-OK. And a lot of times we're not A-OK, but we have been working so hard to gain the approval of parents or children or co-workers or church members that they don't really know who we are. We're not even sure who we are. So we're going to talk about that today. And the first thing we want to notice about men pleasers is that men pleasers are afraid. Men pleasers are afraid. When you read through the Bible, you can see, do I seek to please men? In Ephesians chapter 6, you can see people that are performing service in an employment situation or in a situation where they are servant to a master, and the Bible even uses the word men pleasers. There's a place in the Bible we'll see later about gaining the approval of men. All of that really is stewed down to this basic thing. A man pleaser is a person who fears man. That's what it is. It's the fear of men. Keep your finger where you are and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and look at verse 25. Excuse me. The Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved." The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now in this particular passage, what we see is that the Bible has an expression for what motivates a men pleaser. You know, why should I be concerned that I gain your approval? Why should I concern myself at all with what you think? You're a man like I am. Or if you're a woman, you're a human being like I am. We have like passions. We have like desires. We deal with the same kinds of problems when it comes to sin. We have the same desires when it comes to things we'd like God to do in our lives or we'd like to do for God. The Bible just basically says that you're afraid. You're afraid of what men think. You're afraid to, people say, I'm afraid of confrontation. Basically, that thing is a fear of man. I would rather them think well of me and not get into this than have them think poorly of me, even though I may be right when I confront them. And the power of that fear is so strong, you'll take the wrong. You'll take the wrong to keep coming out smelling like a rose rather than to stand up for what is right and have to endure the argument or the confrontation when they're trying to say, no, I'm not wrong, you're wrong. People do that in families, very common. Do it in sales situations, or do it in family situations, do it in employment situations. Man, I don't want to confront my boss. He's way out of line here. We need to straighten this mess out. But right now he thinks I'm a good employee, so I'm just going to leave things well enough alone. All that is the same thing. It's the fear of man. You're afraid. See, people pleasers do what they do to gain the approval of men. Their source of satisfaction or worth is not in knowing certain things about themselves that are approved, but in getting the approval of somebody else. I feel good about myself if you feel good about me. And as a result, men pleasers are only interested in how they look to men. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Always keep your place in Galatians 1. We will be back. We will be back. That's what MacArthur said. We'll be back there again. Ephesians chapter 6. And look at verse 6. This is where you see that phrase, men pleasers. Now notice what he says in verse 5 leading into the verse. Ephesians 6, 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Watch it, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Now you may be a lousy employee, but your employer doesn't know that you're a lousy employee because every time your employer's around, you're always in your best behavior. You make it look good for the boss. And as far as the boss is concerned, you are a good employee. He doesn't really know the truth about you because you're always very careful to keep up this front. People pleasers, men pleasers are only interested, listen, in how they look to men. They're not interested in how they really are. They're interested in how they look. The Bible talks about the Pharisees in John chapter 12, and he said, here was their problem. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So you can't see God, and a lot of times you're not aware that He can always see you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. But you're not aware of that because you can't see him looking at you. So if you're that type of employee, God's looking at you all the time and he knows that you're a worthless employee. But as far as you're concerned, you really think you're good because the boss thinks you're good. That's a men pleaser. That's a people pleaser. And it's motivated by fear. The fear is that you would get caught and he'd find out what you really are. Now, when you talk to a people pleaser, for instance, if you're trying to carry on a conversation with a people pleaser, or let's say that you are a people pleaser and you're trying to carry on a conversation with somebody else, you know what you'll do? You'll hesitate in the conversation and think hard about what to say so that it comes out just right and doesn't blow your cover. Because you're interested that they would think about what you just said. Wow, that was good. People pleasers will leave a conversation that may be short and go home and rehash the conversation sometimes for hours or maybe days, and they'll say to themselves, you know, when he said this, I should have said that. And the reason is that they always are concerned with what they look like in the eyes of the other person, whomever it is that they fear. Now, people pleasers may not be concerned about how everybody feels, but they're concerned about the people that are important to them and how they feel about them. And so if you find yourself in a situation where you're struggling in a conversation to say the right thing, then you probably have the disease. You know, doctors a lot of times don't know whether you have the flu or not, so they ramrod a thing up your nose until it punches out the top of your head. You ever had that test before? Wow, here we got a little thing here. We're going to swab your nose. Swab my brain. Why don't you tell me the truth? You know, to find out if you got the flu, they run that thing through a test. They go, yep, you got it, and they can identify which one it is. All right, so you may be thinking, well, I don't think I'm a people pleaser. Well, if you are very careful in your conversations to run your replies through the wordsmith to make sure they look good before they come out, you got the disease. We just swabbed your brain, and you're one of those. Or maybe I should say, one of us. I've had to live with this curse for a great part of my life. You know what the Bible says? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. If you're right, and what you say is right, who gives a flip what they think? Really? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Say the acceptable thing. You say, well, if I say the acceptable thing, you know, this person's not quite there yet, then they won't accept me. And so you back off of that. If you ever had an opportunity and reply to something that you knew what to say, but you didn't say it because you knew when you would, they wouldn't accept it. Listen, we have to learn to speak those things that are acceptable to God, whether they're acceptable to men or not. But some people don't mind living in that level of fear. I say to people, you know what? Somebody in here right now may be saying, bingo, man, you read my mail, you nailed me right between the eyes. But I'm not changing because this fear is so great. I would rather live with the fear and still have the approval of men than make a change and risk the feelings that are associated with just speaking the right thing. If you get to a place where you decide, I don't want to live like this anymore, you'll face that fear and find out it really wasn't something to be afraid of in the first place. Men pleasers are afraid. I'll tell you something else about men pleasers. They're hypocritical. You calling me a hypocrite? Yeah. Yeah, but it's not coming from me. Look back at Galatians chapter 1:10, and then we'll jump over to a verse of Scripture so you can see it. Paul said, do I now persuade men or God? Listen, those are two different groups of people right there. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, the Pharisees were not the servants of Christ at all. And so Jesus Christ finally had a showdown with them before his crucifixion in Matthew chapter 23. And you need to see what he said to them. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. You say, well, I just got to Galatians chapter 1. I said, keep your finger there. You get there quick. Matthew chapter 23, look at verses 27 and 28. Of course, he has a lot of things to say to the Pharisees in this passage that are really good, and many which may even pertain to our discussion. But these two verses say it just as well as anything you're going to read. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. Woe unto you. You know, when the Bible says woe, that W-O-E, that's not good. Woe, 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 the Bible says in Revelation, because there are three more bad things coming in the tribulation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. What does he call them? Hypocrites. For you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. That was their only concern, was just to appear righteous unto men. But within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So men pleasers, particularly in a church setting, appear righteous. They look good. Say, you know any godly people in your congregation? Oh, yeah, oh, so-and-so, man. I tell you what, he's cream of the crop. He may not be. If he's a men pleaser, he may be very much like a Pharisee who's always putting on a good show. You know, a men pleaser, this is very important to understand, are not what they pretend to be. In other words, when you're a men pleaser and you walk away and everybody's speaking good of you, And the Lord said to his disciples, be careful when they're speaking good of you, because that's what they said about the false prophets. You walk away from a church setting and people are saying really good things about you, you're like, wow, that's who I really am. I am who I am pretending to be. And that somehow by pretending this, like a Hollywood actor, I will become that character. But that's not true. Because you know deep down in that same setting of those friends that are so important to you that you fear them, if you were to say what you really believe, if you were to do what you really do when they don't see you, if you were to be who you really are, they wouldn't approve of you. And the truth of the matter is, you are who you really are. They just don't know it. In other words, you have done this long enough until you believe what you're pretending to be is who you really are. And it's not who you are. Who you are is who you really are that they don't know about, just like the Pharisees. You're not the whited sepulcher you appear to be. You are the dead men bones on the inside of the sepulcher. That's who you really are. You're full of uncleanness and iniquity, Jesus said to them. Well, I'm not going to say that you're full of iniquity and uncleanness, but you aren't who you've been pretending to be. So how do you know all that? Well, listen, I tell people when they come to church, you've heard me say it. If you're recently saved or whatever and you're beat up by sin, come in here beat up by sin. Because we have something in the Bible that will help you. But if you pretend to be like all godly now, yeah, man, you know, God delivered me from all that stuff and I'm all like good now, and you're not really good, you're doing that for us. You're not doing that for God. And God, you know what he thinks about that? He said, that stinks. And you're always going to have to be that person that you're pretending to be. And you're not going to be comfortable around here because you're going to be scared to death. Somebody's going to find out who you really are and then they're not going to like you anymore. So man, the act only gets worse with time. That's why sometimes people blow out after a while. Teenage kids grow up in church. They've been pretending their whole lives because they understand how you act one, act two, act three. But they can't keep living like that. And one day all hell breaks loose inside their heart and people find out who they really are and they just blow out on you. And you're like, how in the world did that happen? That's because that's who they've always been. You just didn't know that's what they were because they've been doing that out of fear of you, not out of fear of God. Hypocrites. Men pleasers are hypocritical. The Pharisees, when confronted by the Lord, well, look at it for yourself. You're in Matthew. Let's go to John on the way back to our text. John chapter 7. Look at, I mean, it's caught red, stinking handed. You know, after a while, the smell of those dead men bones start coming through that veneer that you're wearing. And people are like, I don't know what the deal is, but something's just not right with old so-and-so. I can't put my finger on it, but something not, you know what it is? The real you is beginning to leach out through your pores. And they're like, something doesn't smell right here at all. I smell a rat. John chapter 7, look at verse 20. When the Pharisees and Jesus Christ were going at it, Jesus Christ, well, he says in verse 19 to them, John chapter 7, verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, these are the Pharisees, the people. answered, "Thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee?" That a lying hypocrite right there. Because that's exactly what they were doing, but they had been pretending around everybody that that's not what they were going to do. However, it was leaching out through their pores. Look at verse 25. "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill?" They knew what was going on. You can't keep up the act forever. You know, you have to work harder and harder at it, and it gets tougher and tougher to maintain the approval of men when the real you starts leaking out from behind the cover. You know, the Wizard of Oz was really not as big and bad a deal as he pretended to be. When you took away the curtain and the smoke, he's just a guy that flew a balloon. Men pleasers are afraid. Men pleasers are hypocritical because you're pretending to be what you think others will approve. You've put yourself in the fear of man bringeth the snare. Now you've put yourself in that snare. And you know the worst thing in the world, you're not really sure they approve. You're really having to work hard at it. When they don't give you any feedback that they approve, you're like, oh man, I got to work harder now. So that leads to the next thing. Men pleasers are afraid. Men pleasers are hypocritical. Men pleasers are discontent. What does that mean? You're not happy. You're not happy. Men pleasers are discontent. You're not happy because as I say, unless you're getting constant feedback from those that you fear, from those from whom you want approval, then you are doing extra things to keep getting that approval. And it's wearing you out. And you're discontent. You see, how do we know this? We know this because around the people with whom you are the absolute closest, when you're around those people whom you trust won't expose you, because it might make them look bad, you can't keep up the front. You can't keep up the front forever. From time to time, the real you comes out. Not in this setting, not around all of us, at home. See, your spouse won't expose you because you'd kill them. So your spouse isn't going to ever let anybody know who you really are. They watch how things go here, and it's like, you know, it's the way it is, you know. Sometimes people walk in the door at church and they're red in the face, and you got a pretty good idea what's been going on in the car before they got here. And walking, "Hi, everybody. Wow, you know, I'm here. My fan club. Everybody tell me, yes, you approve. Ha, 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 ha." And the spouse is like, "You dirty, rotten dog." If they could just hear the things you were saying and how you were wording it and some of the words that you used. But you're not happy. Because it wears you out to keep this front. You know, blowing up at home when you're considered by everybody else to be the nicest woman or the nicest man, that's a clue to you. That's a clue to you. They think I'm good, and I'm wicked as hell. You like living like that? Making you happy? How about the people that are around you? Are they happy with all that? You see, the truth of the matter is you have become the person that you are, but that's not the person you want to be. You're not happy with yourself like that. You would really like to be able to just throw it all off and say, "Guys, here's who I really am. Take off the Halloween costume." You know, Halloween, you put on the scary costume, right? Well, with this kind of thing, you put on the nice costume and you take it off, the scary person is there. But the truth of the matter is you kind of wish everybody knew that you were the scary person that you really are and that they would accept you that way. Not because you want to abuse them, but so you could just quit playing Hollywood church. or Hollywood Christianity or Hollywood employee or whatever it is you're doing. And I'll tell you what, speaking of discontent, when you're very close to somebody, let's say in a parental relationship, father and child, parent and child, or husband and wife, or partner in a business, or whatever the case may be, when you're really close, you know what? You know one of your most miserable times is when you want something from your spouse, or when you want something that you know your spouse won't approve, and yet you feel like you gotta have it, and yet you want their approval while attempting to get it. Do you understand what I just said? That was a little bit difficult. I'm looking over here. It's clear as day in my mind. Let me say it this way. In close relationships, there are needs. Let's say that a spouse, I won't say husband or wife, is no good with money. And they have something that they really want, and it's going to cost $1,000. And they know that if their spouse finds out about it, that there's no way in the world they're going to just get $1,000 out of the bank and go get that thing. I'd be happy for you. So the person is stuck in this dilemma. How do I do something I know that's not going to meet with the approval of my spouse and get what I want, which I know my spouse doesn't approve of? There's the conflict. I'll give you a perfect example. Teenagers who want girlfriends and boyfriends that parents don't want them to have. Now I'm miserable because I want mom and dad to still love me and think that I'm the good person that I am, but I also want this person that I love. How do I do that? And you know what? You are discontent because the people that you want to be happy with, you aren't happy with you. Now the misery starts setting in and you start learning ways to try to manage those things. You know what that comes down to? It comes down to this. Listen. Men pleasers are afraid. Men pleasers are hypocritical. Men pleasers are discontent. Men pleasers are conflicted. You can't make everybody happy all the time. There are times in your life where the decision you have to make is going to make one or the other upset. And at that point, you have to choose who is more important to you. And that is a dilemma. You watch kids that grow up in church and all the way that they conduct themselves, the parents are thinking, man, this child is doing so well. I've seen this so many times that if you're currently in that situation, I am not aiming at you. We have watched this repeated for 30 stinking years in the ministry. And I love the ministry, but it happens over and over again. And this whole time, the kids have been doing what they've been doing to meet your approval. It never was about getting God's approval. And now they're getting ready to do something that they know you won't approve of. They know God won't approve of, but it's something that they want. Now they have to make a choice. Now you're stuck in a dilemma. Now you're in a conflict. How can I pursue this sin and still make my spouse happy? How can I pursue this angle and still make my parents happy? How can I pursue this wickedness and still make God happy? You can't. It is impossible. And now you're conflicted. And you're going to find out that you're going to live conflicted when you're a men pleaser most of your life. How do I make the folks at church happy with me and make the folks at school happy with me? Because they want me to do these things that the people at church don't want me to do. So when I'm with them, I'll do those things. And when I'm at church, I'll do these things and hope I never get caught. You're conflicted. You know, in this situation, we say to you, don't date lost people. Wow, you get into a conflict immediately. God says, don't do that. And you're like, well, I know, but you know, I'm going to bring them to church and I think maybe they'll get saved. And when that happens, then all of a sudden God's who's disapproving will say, oh, well, in that case, I approve. That's not how you do it. You put yourself, and this is a men pleaser that's doing this. You are managing all these people that are important to you and finding yourself in situations where you are, you know what's going to happen? The stupid thing's going to blow up. And when it blows up, you're going to find out that nobody approves. When the real truth comes out, the people at school are going to hate you for being the hypocrite you were, and the people at church are going to hate you for being the hypocrite you were. God's not going to like you very much either, and you're going to be like, wow, this didn't work at all. Men pleasers are afraid, they're hypocritical, they're discontent, they're conflicted, and finally this, they're subverted. Subverted, what does that mean? You know something? If I'm a men pleaser, and I'm trying to please you, and you figure out that I'm trying to please you, you're going to start manipulating me so that you get what you want out of me and try to make me feel good about it all the time with your approval. You'll dole out the approvals and just lead me right along into, now suddenly I'm no longer in charge of anything. You're in charge of everything that's going on in my life. Subverted. See, when somebody else figures out that you need their approval in order for you to be happy with yourself, they got you. They got you. And they can do anything they want to with you. You know, the worst situation is when parents need the approval of their children. When the children find out that the parents need their approval, in other words, I want you to know I'm your best friend. I want you to know, you know, that I love you, those kids will rag you to death. So you can keep feeling good about yourself. Well, I couldn't do that. They wouldn't approve of that if I did that. Oh, they wouldn't approve of that. And God's over there going, which way are you going to do this? The way they want or the way I want? Conflict. I've watched it over and over again. Listen, and if employer knows that you're the kind of person who's a people pleaser, they will always dump extra work on you. Always. Because they know you're the kind of person who has to look good under every circumstance and also needs their approval. And they're kind of like, you know, I need somebody to stay after 5 o'clock tonight. And they go, oh, Bevins, you'd be just the perfect person. Man, we just think you're the greatest guy. And call home again. Sorry, Ann, I can't be there tonight. What's the problem? Well, we've got to work late again. How come they keep assigning that to you all the time? And I'm not man enough to admit because I absolutely must have their approval in order to feel good about myself. Well, she says, I don't approve. Yeah, but I'm at work, not at home. So the current company is the one that's going to get the stronger deal. When I come home, I'll find a way because you already know that I'm a people pleaser. We'll work it out at home and we'll have our arguments at home. At least these people here don't know that. And after all, I'm getting time and a half for it. So why don't you just shut up? So that's what you say, man, that's the way it is. How come they were always coming on me? Because they know that as long as they say, boy, you're the best employee that we have. You're going to be here till midnight. No problem. I feel so good about myself until you get home and your wife says, you jerk. And then the real you comes out, right? Because I don't need your approval anymore. We're married, right? Till death do us part. So you just got to put up with this. I don't need your approval most of the time unless you got something I want that you don't want me to have. And then, honey, I'm the best husband you ever had, aren't I? Oh, tell me, I feel so good about that. Oh, by the way, I just spent $1,000 on another gun. You said you did? Wow, tell me where you got that. Mine would be costing about 3 or 4. You see where this is going? Men pleasers are afraid, they're hypocritical, they're discontent, they're conflicted, they're subverted. God's not in control of anything. You're not even in control. It's all an act. You say, what in the world is the solution? The solution is to begin to concern yourself with God's approval and nothing else. God is the only person in the entire universe from whom you need approval. But you got to be careful, because as a people pleaser, if you start treating God the same way that you've been treating others, you're going to put on the same front. But God won't buy it, because He can see right through you. So don't even start there. He's not impressed. Oh God, it is your faithful servant coming to you again in prayer. And He's like, oh, knock it off. Do you remember what you thought about last night? Do you remember what you did yesterday? Cut out all of that stuff. It's fake. It's unreliable. It is not who you are. You're my son, but not that. I mean, oh, Dad, I'm all just, man, I had a rough time with this thing here, Lord, but I sure love you. He'll buy in on that one. Your spirituality is untrue. Your spirituality is shallow. It is unreliable. You're in Galatians 1:10, right? Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men? Do I seek to please men? Watch it. For, Galatians 1:10, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't be a men pleaser and be a God pleaser. It is impossible. So throw it off. We don't count as men. God counts. You come before God and you say, okay, look, I'll tell you, Lord, you got me right between the eyes with that one. I want to be your servant. I don't want to be a man pleaser ever again. Now, of course, it's easier said than done. It's hard to work out of old habits. You say, what is it? You go from the fear of man to the fear of God. You know, we talk about the fear of God, right? And sometimes it is hard to get that concept into your mind and heart to really understand all there is. Let me tell you an aspect of the fear of God. An aspect of the fear of God is seeking His approval. God, do you approve? God, I want you to approve. And if you don't approve, then I don't want to go this way. I only want to go on the things that you approve. You know where those are found? They're found in the Bible. And when you do what the Bible says, you don't have to seek God's approval. You are walking in God's approval. Amen. You don't have to wonder whether He approves. God, do you approve of this? You don't have to wonder. He says, do this. You said, okay, I'm doing that. You walk with the absolute confidence, God approves. Amen. There's no uncertainty in this. And you can be happy and satisfied. When those men that worked and served the Lord turned in the account at the end of their service, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He knew the score. Good, you get authority over 10 cities. You ought to know where you stand with God. And you do know where you stand with God when you are standing underneath the authority of His words and doing those things that please Him. Jesus Christ's testimony was about the relationship that He had with His Father. I do always those things that please Him. I don't care whether Peter rebukes me or my disciples forsake me or they put me on the cross. I'm going to please God. And you will be sure that if you choose to please God, somewhere along the way, you're going to bump into people that you love that are not going to approve of you. So be it. I'm not going to be in the trap of fearing man. I'm going to be who I am and fear God. That's approval. That's approval from God. Be what God wants you to be. Be who God wants you to be. Do those things that God wants you to do. And don't concern yourself with what other people think about it. Forget about it. So I'm right because I'm doing what God wants me to do. Fine. By the time it comes to your judgment, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you weren't certain about it, you will be after that. He said, well, I don't want to face that at the judgment seat of Christ. Then figure out what He said ahead of time. He says, judge yourself. And after you judge yourself, you can stand there right in that light and say, I am doing right now. I know what God wants and God's pleased with this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nobody else can judge that but God. Now listen, you can't have the approval of men and the approval of God. But there are times, listen, when you please God, that you will ultimately have what you desired in the first place, which was the approval of men. Look at Acts 2:2. Acts 2:2. We're at the conclusion, so don't worry that we're starting a whole new concept here. We're wrapping up. We're wrapping up. You people pleaser, are you? No, I'm just kidding. Just giving you. Got to ruffle your feathers just a little bit. Acts 2:2. That's not it. You're all looking out there going, wow, that's profound. Amen. It is profound. Just digest it. When you get home from back to church tonight, you let me know what it says. It's Acts 2:22. I just typed it fast and left off a 2. 2:2:2:2:2:2. Acts 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, watch it. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. I'm going to tell you something. You want that said about you more than you want anything that any man could ever say about you. A man approved of God. That's what you need to seek. A man approved of God. Now watch what happens when you do. Romans 14. We'll end it in this verse right here. Romans chapter 14. Look at verses 17 and 18. Very, very important. This is so wonderful. I'm talking about now people that really want to serve God. And hey, I believe there are a whole bunch of folks here that really want to serve God. If we've got this bad thorn in our flesh, let's get this one out. But I believe there's some folks here that love God. Really do. They can handle this kind of message and make the correction by the instruction we received. And when you do, watch this. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So see, if you really did want the approval of men, do those things that are acceptable to God, and those people who are concerned about being acceptable with God will approve of you. Remarkable. You get what you want, but you get it by knocking off all those other conflicts, all those other subversions, all that discontent, all that hypocrisy, all that fear, and concern yourself with one thing. God, I want to please you, period. And I will walk in your fear to do so. And He'll give you the wisdom to do it. And in time, as you do that, because you've been living over here scared to death about the approval of whomever it is that's that important to you in your life, as you begin to turn, that will still pull on you, but you will be walking away from it as you walk in the approval of God until one day you look back and say, you know what, I really don't care what you think. I'm only concerned about where God is, and God says to stand right here, and that's where I'm standing. If you want to stand with me, we'll be acceptable to each other. If you don't want to stand with me, take a hike. In other words, you know, not take a hike like I don't ever want to see you again, but take a hike in the sense that what you think about it doesn't bother me in the least. I don't care. Doesn't matter. It only matters that God is pleased. So do I seek to please men? I don't know. What's the answer to that question in your life? If you find that through this message you have been identified, whether you knew it or not, as a men pleaser, I suggest you get that thing changed. You'll be much happier, and you'll find that the fear of God is a lot easier to live with than the fear of man. You'll find contentment in your life that you've never known before, and you'll find that it's a whole lot easier to be who you are all the time than to pretend to be around certain people somebody that you are not. The smell from the inside of your dead moans is starting to leak through your pores. And others don't like it. Straighten up. Live for God. Seek His approval. Father, we ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to work with this message in the way that only you know how to do, Lord. You know, on Sunday mornings, we always love to include the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what we've preached today. We've preached something to help Christians. God, may we take great heart to the words we've heard. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll work with such liberty in our lives today that if we've got some that need to agonize over this problem in their lives and don't mind doing so publicly, they could make their way an altar out of their seat and come to the altar that's here and get these things before you and confess, Father, that they've learned something that can help them now. Father, if there's anyone here that is lost, that came, that desired to hear the gospel today, I pray, Heavenly Father, they'll stick around. They'll let us know, I came here for the gospel. We'll show them the gospel. We surely will. And they'll learn what it is to fear God. Help us, O God. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.